Chapter 2.
What's going on?
Beatrix shrieked as other witches began violently attacking each other.
Is this normal?
Marina screamed while she stood up, stumbled back, and nearly tripped over her gown.
Of course not, fish for brains!
Akira roared as her black eyes wandered around the room.
Does this seem normal to you? Then what the hell is going on?
The former siren screeched. Save your questions for later! I shouted before I pulled my wand from my waistband. Arm yourselves and be quick about it!
Yes, master!
My coven replied before they collectively pulled out their wands. Beatrix and Marina also complied, and everyone's eyes were wide, alert, and tinted with fear. During my time at Scholomance, I knew we'd seen a lot of inexplicable things, but this certainly was a new one. Dozens of witches were attacking other witches with no reason or warning, and I watched in horror as beautiful ball gowns quickly became splattered with blood and gore. The entire banquet hall was wrapped up in a cloud of utter madness as women either attacked each other or desperately tried to defend themselves with magic or dinner knives. What began as a beautifully dark and peaceful evening had turned deadly, and now the music had completely died, and screams, spells, and the shattering of silverware and plates filled the air instead. As the madness ensued, I steadied my hand and pointed it at a pale-faced Wicca with vacant eyes, bleeding lips, and frenzied hair. She came rushing in my direction like a crazed wild animal, and when she was a few feet in front of me, I lifted my wand above my eye level and aimed. Volant! I shouted, and a blast of light sent her flying back into the stone wall and knocked her out cold. Then I turned to look back at my coven, and they were huddled into a group with their backs pressed against each other. Try not to kill them. I think they're under some kind of trance.
Yes, master!
Akira screamed back as she aimed her wand at another demented woman and sent her flying into a candle holder.
We'll do our best. Was it something in the wine?
Penelope screamed over the madness.
No, I had a few sips and I'm not acting like a deranged, bloodthirsty bitch. It has to be something else. Obviously not everyone is affected.
The intelligent brunette was right. As I gazed around the room, it was clear not every witch was under some kind of violent spell. Some were simply terrified, like us, and were doing their best to protect themselves from the out-of-control Wiccas who'd suddenly turned half-mad. I did my best to shoot disarming spell after disarming spell at the crazed women, but I realized it was going to be impossible to save everyone. As I saved one woman from being thrown out of a stained glass window, I watched in horror as another had her throat suddenly ripped out by a short-haired Wicca. It took me a long moment to recognize the crazed witch as one of the twins, but she didn't even look like herself. Her robin blue gown was more red than blue at this point, and her eyes were wild like a possessed animal as she growled at us with a mouth full of flesh and blood. Then she leapt up from the dead Wicca at her feet and started to run toward us like a wild wolf.
Mivy, no!
Penelope cried out as she followed my gaze and aimed her wand at the blue streak-haired witch.
Tardis!
As soon as a blast of purple light hit the short-haired twin, Ivy stopped in her tracks and froze in place. Her bloody teeth were still bared in feral rage, but she didn't move an inch. Still, I whipped my head back and forth in search of Iris, who was never far from her sister, but the other twin was nowhere to be found. I hoped she was still alive somewhere in this bedlam, and my heart ached as I stared at the enchanted frozen Ivy. Well done, Penelope. I breathed as I turned to face the orange-haired witch. Right before I defended my coven against a wild witch who was screaming and running in our direction.
This is fucking insane!
Nyx shouted as her indigo eyes darted like a bee in every direction.
I'm not sure, but I think more of them are becoming possessed as we speak. What the hell happened?
Beatrix squealed, and her voice cracked as she shouted spell after spell.
I've never seen anything like this before!
I couldn't blame the women for panicking. Beatrix was right. Nothing like this had ever happened before, and there was no denying that the ballroom had turned into a dance of pure destruction. The delirious women acted like rabid wolves as they prowled through the banquet hall, and I turned to look toward the professor's table to see how they were dealing with the violent, impromptu situation. The Scholomance professors were all aiming their wands at the wild witches and doing their best not to permanently harm anyone in the process. Meanwhile, the women of the High Court all had their hands connected with one another, and their eyes were tightly shut as turmoil and death brewed all around them. They didn't budge an inch as blood arched through the air and splashed against their gowns, and I could see their lips moving rapidly. Then, suddenly, there was a heavy shift in the air. Whatever enchantment the women of the High Court were conducting, it nearly killed all the candles and made the walls rumble and the floor tremble. The heavy chandelier above us chimed and swayed as they continued to mutter their united spell, and for a moment I was afraid the ornament would come crashing down and crush any women in its way. I was so focused on the High Court's efforts that I barely noticed as two demented women came rushing in our direction with foaming mouths and wide, expressionless eyes. I quickly aimed my wand at one, and I heard Morgana's commanding voice ring through the air as she blasted the other. Stupefaciunt! A blast of red light erupted from my wand, while a light blue beam spewed forth from Morgana's. The two women were struck in the middle of their chests, and my incantation sent my target flying backward as she slammed her head against the edge of a table. Meanwhile, the woman Morgana hit turned into a block of ice, and her mad eyes darted frantically back and forth as she remained frozen and unable to move or wreak havoc.
What the hell are the women from the High Court waiting for?
Akira screamed with furious dark eyes.
They're conducting an enchantment!
Morgana yelled back before she blasted another spell at a wild-eyed, green-haired Wicca in a torn-up, bloody yellow gown.
Just keep holding the insane ones back! What the hell do you think I'm doing? I'm doing my best, but these psychotic bitches are everywhere!
As the women from the High Court continued to move their lips, an icy wind swept through the room, and this time all the candles died at once. Cold, numbing air filled the banquet hall, and the hairs on my arm stood up as the High Court women's voices grew louder and more forceful.
Sanctum abere qui ad hoc sub.
Their deep voices echoed in unison.
Fiat sosteneret cordibus suis et spiritus sil, virtus unita fortior nobis et tuos.
Soon the wild women began to slow their movements, but I could still see how desperately they were fighting against whatever incantation the High Court women were conducting. The room grew stiller and quieter, and the haunted women's eyes were mixed with vacant obedience and feral willpower as they struggled to fight against the powerful magic. Their teeth were exposed as drool seeped from the corners of their lips like ferocious beasts, and at that moment I knew some other kind of energy was at play here. I could feel it in the depths of my black heart and in every corner of my mind and soul.
Precipimus tibi quod sit ad hoc!
Madame Sultan screamed at the top of her lungs.
Per Satanas ut adieres voc meam!
In the next moment, a violent wind swept across the entire banquet hall and knocked everyone off their feet. My body slammed down into the marble floor, but I still kept a tight grip on my wand. I hit my head so hard against the ground that for a moment everything became hazy, but the sound of screaming and panic faded slowly, and all was silent and still once more.
Fuck!
I heard Akira groan, and when we all sat up, half of the room was paralyzed into place. All the women who were possessed by whatever power took over their bodies and souls are now as still as morbidly carved statues.
What in the name of Satan?
Beatrix breathed as her eyes wandered around the room.
They're completely still, but they're alive too? And so they shall remain, Miss Beatrix.
Madame Sultan said as she brushed a wild strand of blonde hair out of her flushed face. As we all steadied our frantic breathing, the head of the High Court snapped her fingers, and all the wild women who were frozen in place vanished into a cloud of purple smoke. Now we were left with a room filled with pale-faced Wiccas standing amidst a cluttered banquet hall littered with broken and bloodied bodies.
Where did they go?
A trembling voice asked from the back of the room.
Will they come back?
Demanded another.
No.
Professor Olivia answered for Madame Sultan.
They have simply been placed under an ancient paralysis spell, and they will be kept in the infirmary until we can figure out exactly what just happened. I will be sure to place a charm on the hospital doors to ensure none of them can escape, should the spell be broken, which is highly unlikely. For the meantime, however, I think it would be wise for everyone to return to their rooms. Clearly, we have plenty of cleaning up to do. For now, you're all dismissed. Please, try to remain calm in your quarters and do not fret. Worrying will do absolutely nothing, so I urge you all to instead to pray to Satan and open your hearts to his ever-powerful darkness. Now, off with you all, and try to have a quiet night.
It took the women a moment to move, but as the unaffected witches slowly stood up from the floor and quietly left the bloody banquet hall, I rose to my feet and remained exactly where I was. There was no way in hell I was going to simply return to my quarters without asking some important questions. And no matter what, I refused to leave until I had the fucking answers.
Cole, are you coming? You heard what Madame Sultan said. We should go back to our rooms and pray.
I heard her, but I sure as hell am not stepping out of this hall until I have a word with her.
But...
The light-haired brunette interjected until Akira pulled her back and whispered into her ear.
Don't question our master if you know what's good for you.
The black-eyed witch sneered.
If he chooses to stay, then we'll stay with him, and I suggest you do the same. Fine.
Beatrix snapped before she yanked back her arm and placed her hands on her wide hips.
I won't leave, but only because there's no way in hell I'm walking down those corridors on my own. Who knows what else could possibly happen? I'll stay as well.
Marina added with wide lavender eyes. Very well, I said as I stared at the front of the room. Follow me. As I neared the High Court women, Madame Sultan's bright eyes narrowed in my direction before she crossed her arms tightly across her chest. I could tell by the scowl on her face that a part of her still loathed me, but right now I couldn't care less about that. We had far more important things to take care of. Madame Sultan, I said with a small bow, may I have a quick word with you and the professors?
Cole, did you not hear me? I specifically instructed all students to return safely to their quarters, yet here you are, thinking you're somehow exempt from the order.
And telling the students to safely return to their rooms was a wise decision to make. But now the question is, who is going to retrieve Headmistress Theodora and inform her about this domestic massacre? I would imagine she would want to be briefed right away. In fact, something tells me she won't be happy to learn you waited to inform her that her students turned on each other for no damn reason. We all know she'd want to be here, so what the hell are we waiting for?
Ziman has a point,
Professor Olivia whispered as she brushed back her tangled silver hair and glanced around the chaotic room filled with mutilated bodies, puddles of spilled wine mingled with blood, and broken plates and goblets.
Theodora should be informed right away. I have a feeling she already senses something is terribly amiss. She would be most displeased if we decided to take care of the situation solely by ourselves.
And you think I don't know that?
Madame Sultan snapped as she narrowed her pale eyebrows at the silver-haired professor.
Don't forget who's in charge here, Miss Olivia. You're no longer a member of this court, or do I have to remind you in front of everyone in the order for you to get the point? Your input is not as valued as it once was, so I suggest you keep that in mind the next time you address me.
Apologies, madam.
Olivia answered in a soft tone as her cheeks darkened and she studied her feet.
If my opinions are not welcomed, then I believe I'd better take a trip to the infirmary and place that charm on the doors. Please excuse me.
We all awkwardly watched as the former member of the High Court marched through the bloody banquet hall and quietly slipped out the doors. I didn't appreciate the way Madame Sultan humiliated her in front of her peers, and it took all my willpower to keep my mouth shut about the matter.
Now!
Madame Sultan huffed before she coldly regarded us.
As much as I appreciate your efforts to save Vipera, please leave this unusual business to us. We're far more capable of taking care of this dire and unprecedented situation than you are. So, I will repeat myself one last time.
So take care of it.
Excuse me. What did you say?
You said you'd take care of it, I replied as I clenched my jaw. So take care of it and summon Headmistress Theodora, or I will.
Cole, we'll do it first thing in the morning,
Professor Luna whispered as she gently squeezed my shoulder.
For now, we need to clear up this mess and place as many protective charms around the academy before the sun rises. But I assure you, we will call upon the headmistress as soon as the sun rises.
Do I have your word? I asked with an arched eyebrow.
Yes.
The pale-haired professor responded without missing a beat. She then regarded the other women with pursed lips and glassy eyes.
This was a very upsetting situation, and you have our word we will bring Theodore back at first light. Correct?
Yes.
All the women answered, aside from Madame Sultan, who simply continued to glare at me with sharp, venomous eyes. Fine, I said after a long moment, but I still wasn't completely satisfied. As my eyes left Madame Sultan's, I turned to look at my coven, as well as Beatrix and Marina, and I could tell by their pale faces and tired expressions that the group needed serious rest, and perhaps a strong cup of wine. Hey, why don't you all return to the common room and take Beatrix and Marina with you? Maybe Beatrix can place a charm on the door. Oh, and be sure to ask Cordelia to prepare something for you, wine or food, whatever you need. And tell her those were my direct orders.
Yes, thank you, Master.
My coven responded collectively, before they guided Marina and Beatrix away from the professors and High Court members.
And why are you not following them? I thought we made an agreement. Yet, here you still are.
That's because I would like to know what the hell just happened. Witches don't just attack their own kind for no good fucking reason. I saw their eyes. It was as if they were possessed by some other kind of magic. Do you have any idea what happened? We all know the elders have penetrated our walls to speak through witches before, but now it seems our enemy has moved on to full body possession and not just stealing a witch's voice. But I thought Scholomance's defenses were up, so what the hell is going on here? At first, no one said a word, until the ruby-haired Professor Crimson looked between the other women and finally sighed.
I've heard of this kind of thing happening in the past,
she said with a firm nod.
I suspect this has something to do with the elders, but I cannot say for certain what kind of power they're using. All I know is that it is strong enough to break through our defensive barriers and infiltrate more than one mind and body at a time.
Only the most potent of elders can penetrate minds like that,
Madame Sultan muttered as she pressed her fingers against her temples.
Whoever is behind this, they are obviously of great stature and power. We may have won two battles against them, but they are retaliating in a way we couldn't detect.
Theodora will know what to do, I'm sure, I said, before my eyes wandered around the bloody room, and it pained me greatly to see dead women lying on the cold floor and soaked in pools of wine and blood. They were all brutally mutilated, with wide, stunned eyes and pale, parted lips. And my blood boiled with rage as I thought about the elders and how they had done this without warning, like the fucking cowards they truly were. When I turned to look back at the professors, I took in a deep breath and steadied my trembling hands. In the meantime, I'd like to speak with Vanessa.
Whatever for?
Professor Evanora asked, and I couldn't help but notice specks of bright red blood in her pale pink hair. I think she has a right to know what happened, I said, with my chin raised. Don't you? Besides, I personally want to make sure she wasn't affected by anything.
Very well,
Madame Sultan answered after a long, pregnant silence.
Follow me. The rest of you, please stay here and clean up. I'll return shortly.
Yes, madam,
the women replied in unison.
Let's go,
Madame Sultan snapped as her venomous green eyes bored into mine.
I can tell you ahead of time that she won't be pleased to see you, so I think you'd better let me be the one to break the news to her.
Fine by me, I said, with my hands raised up into the air. The head of the High Court vehemently shook her head before she pulled up her velvet skirts and did her best not to step on any dead bodies on her way out. I followed closely behind her, and by the time we left the banquet hall, I was relieved to be free from the stench of metallic blood, mingled with the scent of spiced meat and earthy wine.
Come on!
Madame Sultan urged, as she whipped around and paced down the hallway.
Keep up! I have plenty of work to do.
I bit my tongue, rolled my eyes, and closely followed the bossy blonde Wicca. Her heels clicked and clacked as we scurried down the corridors, and when my eyes landed on the ever-observant paintings, I could tell by their expressions that they sensed something was deeply amiss. Their cold eyes were narrowed in confusion as they followed the two of us down the hallways, and I could have sworn I heard the echo of faint whispering as we ventured through the cold castle. Wherever Madame Sultan was taking me, I had never been in this part of the castle, but that notion didn't exactly surprise me. Vanessa was an extremely reserved person, so of course her private chambers would be located somewhere deep and hidden within the academy. When we reached a large, reddish-brown door with a golden wolf's head as the knob, Madame Sultan slowly raised her hand to knock on the door. But before she could do so, a sudden, overwhelming pain took over my entire body and caused me to cry out. Oh, fuck! I grunted as I doubled over.
Cole?
Madame Sultan shouted with terrified eyes.
What's wrong?
I don't know!
I gasped as I tried to suck in quick breaths of air.
My head! It feels like it's going to explode!
The blonde Wicca stared at me with petrified eyes as I pressed my fingers against my pounding temples. Blood filled my mouth as my vision grew dangerously hazy, and the last thing I saw before my entire world went black was Madame Sultan pulling out her wand and aiming it right in between my eyes.